A word of caution for those of you tilling your backyard garden and laying out rows of beans and tomatoes. A book full of words, actually, called The $64 Tomato, How One Man Nearly Lost His Sanity, Spent a Fortune, and Endured an Existential Crisis in the Quest for the Perfect Garden. The perfect large garden, so big it required contractors to construct the beds and set up the sprinklers, contractors who vanished before the job was done, so big it provided sustenance for armies of insects and other pests. The story begins innocently enough as author William Alexander and his wife gaze at the weedy lot just outside their kitchen window and imagine the garden of their dreams.
Every birthday, every Father's, Mother's Day, we gave each other large format garden books with names like Monet's Garden, Great Victorian Gardens. And we realized we could do something very special here. We just didn't want a vegetable garden with a couple of ties put down. We wanted to have flowers and maybe water and paths. What we failed to remember was that one of the things that made Great Victorian Gardens great is that they came with Great Victorian gardeners.
Servants, basically.
Yes, yes. And by the time that reality had sunk in, we were looking at a 2,000-square-foot garden with 22 beds.
After you've actually got the garden, a lot of work laid out, read, if you would, a little segment that, in a sense, foreshadows everything that is to come.
Sure. Alone in my new garden, kneeling over a bed filled with rich, dark brown topsoil, I scooped up a handful of soil and took in its earthy, almost aphrodisiac smell. Ah, I love the smell of earth. No perfume ever invented by man has matched the smell of rich, loamy soil. I scanned the empty beds and saw blood-red tomatoes, tall stalks of corn waving in the sun, snow-white heads of cauliflower. A disembodied voice from above startled me out of my reverie. Going to be a lot of weeding.
That, of course, is your next-door neighbor peering down.
Going to be a lot of weeding, he repeated. Cultivating, I said under my breath. Going to be a lot of cultivating.
So the weeds hit you pretty hard. That was the beginning of a lot of, what would you call it?
Battles.
What would be the next thing?
Just trying to keep the various types of wildlife out of the garden.
Started, by the way, with the deer that your neighbors fed.
The neighbors were feeding the deer. And deer aren't dumb. And when someone puts out food, deer and the family of deer all get the word and they all come. So we just had hordes of deer.
So there was your garden. There were the deer. You decided that
electricity.
You could electrocute
electricity
them.
Was the answer. So I thought. I put up a 3,000-volt fence, and that kept the deer out for a while. But the deer really are not the big problem. The groundhogs are really harder to keep out of the garden because groundhogs will dig under a fence.
Which brings us to what you describe as your Darwinian experience, the groundhog that you nicknamed Super Chuck.
Yeah, and they weren't doing me any harm at all. But the neighbor had complained they were getting into his garden. So I started to trap them. I just kept trapping these things and letting them go. And a week or so would pass, and I'd trap again, let them go. And one day, I looked out, and a huge fat one had gotten through my electric wires. And he was just going through my heirloom tomatoes by the day.
Good taste, though. I love heirloom tomatoes.
Yes, and it's funny. He didn't go after the others, the cherries, the French, but those brandywines he just loved. So I checked out the fence, and I found it was only about 3,000 volts. So I went out and bought a new charger. Now my system was up to 10,000 volts, and I actually saw him coming through, absorb a shock, shake it off like a quarterback after a hit, and continue on. So I worked on the fence a little more, and the way an electric fence works, I should explain, is that it sends out this 10,000-volt pulse. I watched him approach the fence, pause, and jump through in the one-second pause between the 10,000 volts.
Wow.
And I realized that I had actually made this groundhog, that in a very Darwinian way, I had been removing the dumb, easy-to-trap ones, and those were actually the ideal tenants. Those were the ones that I just should have left.
So the title, The $64 Tomato, is taken from an experience you had, as you say, egged on by your wife, Anne.
Egged on by my wife, Anne, who walked through the kitchen and said one night, What a beautiful tomato. And it was the end of kind of a long, hard summer, and I was kind of in a grouchy mood, and I just kind of tossed off, yeah, it should be. It probably costs us about $20 to grow. Later, I started to think, how much did this brand new wine really cost me? So I went back and I looked at what we had spent to build the garden, and then I amortized that over 20 years. And then I added in the costs we had spent that year. And then from that, if you're still with me, I took out the farm stand value of all the other produce that we had and was left with my crop of brand new wines. And it came out not to $20. That would have been great. It came out to $64 a tomato.
Were you horrified?
I was actually sorry that I had done the entire exercise.
There are pricing, you're priceless. Some things.
You just don't want to know. It's not really about what it actually cost to eat this piece of fruit. It's really about lifestyle. And the garden really for us was kind of a family member, for better or for worse.
You still like to garden?
I still love the garden. You know, on a good day with the sun shining and the soil warmer than the air, knowing that the best BLT in the world is a couple of weeks or months away, it seems like every dollar, every fight with a contractor and a deer was worth it. On a bad day, when early heat spell has killed off the lettuce and the groundhog has taken one bite out of six tomatoes instead of the six bites out of one I would gladly grant him, it seems like the worst idea we ever had. Till I remind myself that next year will be better.
William Alexander wrote the book The $64 Tomato, a complete breakdown of the costs he encountered on his way to reach that precious tomato, starting with the pack of seeds, is at npr.org. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm John Idstein.